And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Nerdy Notions, where Sasha and I were already squealing like little schoolgirls.
Well, he was squealing. I don't squeal, except for Young Avengers material. But no, I am looking. Hi, I'm Sasha Kaplan, in case you're new here. And I'm currently looking out my window because there is ugly white stuff on the ground. And no, it's nothing fun. It's actually evil. It's snow. And it's April.
I love snow.
You can have it.
It was
There's a
cold.
Reason why I will be one of those migrating birds that move south for the winter. I'm going to be that little old lady that like vacations in like Maine, but lives in like somewhere warm in the wintertime. I'm going to be that Jew that moves to Boca. I've been watching too many nanny episodes, but that's a conversation for another time.
So anyways, today's episode is titled Truth.
And truth is a funny word, ain't it? Because some characters found some truth and some characters lacked it. So let's start with the fact that the episode actually starts and ends with the same character, John Walker. And Johnny Boy ain't having a good time. So let's recap. His best friend just got killed by Carly. And he just killed a guy who just happened to be a nearby flag smasher, basically. And not only did he kill him, he desecrated the shield to do it. And so what ends up happening is he's very like disoriented as he's like running back into the building where they were. And he's like mourning, but he's also really dizzy. And he's just like it's very obvious that like
he's in a haze. He's in a haze.
Yeah. So Sam and Bucky literally run after him and confront him. And we mentioned how Walker's sort of gone Coco for Cocoa Puffs, and it's really evident here in this episode. And Sam tries to be actually very kind and helpful and sympathetic, like, we get it. But they do say that, John, you have to give me the shield. Sam says it. But John has this attitude like, come and take it, and Bucky's all too happy to do it.
It's like, all right, let's go. Let's dance,
so
son.
They fight, and Walker is holding, he's kind of walking through them a little bit at the beginning. And John throws the shield at Bucky at one point, and Bucky like knocks him out, but Bucky gets the shield now. And he rips off Sam's wings as he screams, I am Captain America, which was just like, it made me physically nauseous when he said that.
But it works.
It's
supposed to make you feel sick, going like, that's not our cap, especially after how many movies we've seen Steve Rogers in and stuff like that up to this point. And then, because like Steve Rogers was never like, I am Captain America, you know?
No, because here's the thing.
And that's the point of that line. It's to make you feel sick, because it's like, that's not the real Captain America.
This is something I think I mentioned last episode or a couple episodes ago, is that like there's a difference between Captain America and being a Captain America. And this is evident in the fact that Steve didn't become Captain America. He didn't choose it. He sort of got handed this Hollywood title of Captain America that he then sort of repatriated to his own. And he never really defined what it was. His actions spoke for himself in what Captain America was and what he stood for. Here, it's kind of the opposite. It's the fact that like Walker sort of blending into the idea that has been forced upon him by the government. And this will become evident as we sort of see him like later on. But dude, the wings get crushed. They are broken, and that physically hurts.
And not only that, but like also, I think after the wings ripped off and he did the whole I'm Captain America, he actually has the shield and is going to bash Sam's brains in.
Yep. But then Bucky comes to the rescue and they actually break Walker's arm to get the shield back.
Yeah.
There's like, a crack.
Like, and here's the thing. This is the part where like, we were kind of like really schoolgirling over this, was the fact that this really felt like Civil War. But the difference was, is that Sam and Bucky, well, Bucky is still in the same position as, you know, Bucky was in the previous fight, but Sam is in Steve's role now. and John Walker is in Tony's role now.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's like a complete, oh, except for Bucky, he's in the same spot, he's in the same role, but you can feel the difference in that. And it's now, it just felt right.
This is where Mike fangirled hard.
I noted that we schoolgirled over this because we're getting luckily for me, luckily for me, when we record and I freeze on your end, it still records what I'm saying over here. Well, so it's
good,
like,
for you anyway.
But yeah, but we both got really excited over this when we were talking about it. So
no, the music was really, really good in this moment.
The music, I wouldn't be surprised, actually came from Civil War itself too.
Oh, not at all. Because I think here's the thing. Just like in Civil War, Tony represented sort of the government mandate, while Steve and Bucky represented the everyman, quote unquote. Here you have the same thing. It just, John Walker's faked in America is now the government, and Sam and Bucky are the everyman. And you know, kudos to Sam, to the fact that he does all of this with no superpowers. Like, he does not have any protection. He doesn't have a super suit. Like, he doesn't have like a metal suit like Tony Stark did, right? He's just a dude with cool gear, but he's cooler than Hawkeye because he can fly. So anyway, so they break Walker's arm to get the shield, and then Sam and Bucky also hit him with the shield, and Sam is like awkwardly cleaning the blood off the shield. Also, not gonna lie, Bucky looks really hot when he's holding Captain America's shield. I don't know what it is. He was just really hot. So meanwhile, the GRC is conducting raids to find Carly, but they just end up arresting like other flag smashers that are not like in the inner circle or anything. And Carly's in the wind, so Sam asks Taurus to look for a new lead. And he leaves the gear with Joaquin, which I thought was very, very, very interesting. So Bucky says he's going after Zemo. And Walker shockingly caused an international incident. You know, it's like almost when you kill somebody and somebody gets it on tape, people actually kind of tend to notice that.
Yeah.
So Taurus, for some advice, Sam takes the shield, Taurus gives the wing. Uh-huh. So Walker is stripped of his title of Captain America, no kidding. And he's kind of getting an unofficial dishonorable discharge, basically, where they're discharging him and it'll be honorable, but like on paper only. He's not going to get the pension or any of the benefits that come with being honorably discharged from the military, which is way nicer than like, I think, what other people would have done to him.
Well, and they openly admitted that when they're saying it's like, before they mentioned that the pension stuff was like, that was gone. They openly said, it's like, you're getting it. You're getting the slap on the wrist. We could easily just put you in the brig.
And he takes this really well. And by that, I mean, he sort of goes on kind of a tirade of, you made me, yada, yada, yada.
Mandate this, mandate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's also told to return the shield, which I thought was hilarious. Like, didn't you realize he didn't have it on him when he like turned himself in or something? Like,
and also his arm was kind of broken a little bit too.
Yeah, plus we find out that his girlfriend is
actually
not actually his girlfriend, she's his wife. And so they go to, one second. There we go. Oh, having some technical difficulties on my end, one second.
But yeah, so like we find out that his wife, he has a lot of medals on his uniform and ribbons.
He's a three-time Medal of Honor recipient, blah, 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 blah. Greatest soldier that ever was. Turns out not so much. And she's, you know, she's supportive. But then something interesting happens. She offers him some advice that he should go and see like Lamar's parents because they'll want to know. And that, you know, you brought the killer of their son to justice. And I'm like, but Carly's still in the wind. What's that all about? So then something interesting happens. a very interesting woman shows up, and she's dressed in all black, and she's got her hair, and she's got like a little bit of a purple streak or something in her hair.
Yeah,
and
it was definitely purple.
Louise Dreyfus.
Such a great choice to have Julia Louis-Dreyfus play this.
She's not one I would ever picture as a bad guy. So that trash.
I've seen her in a couple roles. Like I know she's done at least like one Tarantino film where she was in that role, and she played it really well. It might have been Kill Bill, actually.
Zero recollection of her in Kill Bill, but anyway. So she's like super supportive of everything that John did. She's like, you did a good job. This is exactly what you were trained to do, and you did it. Like, good job. Good job, little puppy, for being a little murder bot. And she says that the shield doesn't actually belong to the US government, that it's kind of a legal gray area, which, like, no kidding, it's a legal gray area. I'd like to see the contract on the shield, please, because the shield was made by Howard Stark during World War II. While working with the OSSR, whatever the precursor to SHIELD was, right? And then it was on ice for 50 years. And then Steve shows up with the shield, and it's technically Steve's shield, but then Tony's like, it doesn't belong to you. And then who does it actually belong to? So it's a weird gray area.
All right, real quick, I stand corrected. She wasn't in Kill Bill. It was actually an actress that looks almost similar to her.
Okay.
But still, so, I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus as an actress, though. She can pull that off.
Yeah, so basically she says to, like, keep the phone. One of the most important things you'll ever do is, like, answer the phone when I call. And I'm like, why don't I trust you? Because her name sounded familiar. So being the comic book nerd that I am, I Googled. And, yeah, I don't trust her. Why? Because she's Madame Hydra. Well, one of the Madame Hydras. There's been several different ones, but she is a Madame Hydra. And she, yeah, so I guess Hydra's not done with us yet.
And apparently
Hydra's one of those things that, like, it, like, the more heads you kill, the more kind of come out of the woodwork.
Well, what was that saying that they had? Chop off one head, two more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But also kind of a note on that, too, is that for Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, which is the full name, in the comics was a high-level SHIELD operative and sometimes lover of Nick Fury.
Ew.
And then, as you had mentioned, she's also a high-level Hydra agent known as Madame Hydra, or one of the high levels.
Nick, you don't want to tap the Hydra. That just seems like a bad avenue you don't want to go into.
But then also it should be noted that she gave up that black and white calling card.
Yep.
There's talk that may be a homage to her appearance in the comics, in which she had black hair with a white streak.
Yep.
So.
So. Meanwhile, Carly is, feeling some of the pressure that is coming with the fact that she's, you know, person of interest, and her people are getting arrested, and things are kind of hitting the fan. But meanwhile, we go to the exact place I thought Zemo was going to go when he escaped, which is the Sokovia Memorial. And he sees Bucky. And Bucky finds him. And Zemo says that he won't kill Bucky. I'm like, girl, we didn't expect you to. We're past this. And Zemo goes into a tirade that Carly's beyond help and she needs to be killed, which, like, nobody cares what your opinion is, Zemo, but there it is. And he says that Bucky will do the right thing being to kill her. Bucky, meanwhile, points a gun at Zemo and actually pulls the trigger, but there's no bullets in the gun. We saw this in the trailer. We know.
But one of the cool things that he does do is he drops down the bullets, which then brings Dora Milaje.
No, not yet.
No, because after he clicks it, that's right.
And then he hands Zemo over to the Dora Milaje, and Zemo's like, ladies.
Because what he did was, is that him dropping the bullets was the call sign to them to show up.
It's also interesting that, like, this is the moment where Zemo is actually like, oh, I forgive you. And I'm like, what do Zemo have to forgive Bucky for exactly?
Using Bucky as a tool.
Right, but he should be apologizing for that, not accepting Bucky's apology.
Yeah, but no, so, I but he definitely should apologize to Bucky for using him as a tool in Civil War.
I mean, he sort of does when he first meets up, when Bucky goes to visit him in prison. But anyway, so Zemo is not headed for Wakanda. He's going to the raft. We remember the raft. It's that another Civil War reference. That the raft is the not so cushy superpowered government prison where our heroes who rebelled against the system were placed, including Sam Wilson.
And apparently Wakanda has control of it now? Maybe?
I don't think so. I think it was one of those things that, like, maybe Wakanda, as part of its new effort, is actually working with different governments to help them, because the Dora can do what other people can't. So I really don't think the U.S. government would have given up control of the raft unless, then again, we don't really know what happened in the 5 years during the blip. I'm kind of hoping Thunderbolt Ross got snapped just because I want him to suffer. Anyway. Sam, meanwhile, goes back to Baltimore to see Isaiah, and we see Eli again, and that's it. He's that's his grin.
Although that was like you could tell that there's a little bit of snarkiness between Elijah and Sam, like a bit attitude.
It's Eli. It would be in character. It would be very out of character if there was no snarkiness.
Yeah.
But one of the other things is that Eli is always very, in the comics, he's protective of his grandfather and of his grandfather's legacy. So Sam goes to Isaiah and he brings the shield, and Isaiah's like, no, leave it covered. Like, I don't want to see it. And, you know, when we saw Isaiah, he was very angry and he's still very bitter, which, you know, he has every right to be. Sam wants to really understand the whole thing with Isaiah because he doesn't get it and like what went wrong. And so Isaiah tells him the story that he was part of this platoon of black soldiers that were experimented upon and they all died. And then when two of them were actually captured, the government, you know, in government wisdom decided to, we're just bomb the POW camp because we don't want these other super soldiers to be captured and then like used, kind of like Bucky was. So Isaiah is like, we're not going to bomb them. And he rescues these two men, but he gets arrested for it and thrown in prison for 30 years. Meanwhile, he had a wife, and that wife, who is never named, but we'll get to that in a second, actually had sent him letters, but he never received these letters. And she actually died while he was in prison. But then there was this nurse that showed kindness to him and I guess helped him get out of prison and fake his death or something. And so he tells all of this to Sam. He's the only one left and he's got the scar on his, like, to the right of his stomach, kind of where the appendix should be. And basically the nurse took pity on him and had him declared dead, gave him the letters. And Isaiah basically got erased from history. And Isaiah says something that the kin of no self-respecting black man would ever want to be Captain America. And what we know is that Sam is such a caring and such a like heartfelt person. Like, he really feels with his whole heart and he really cares about people. And, you know, he has this like Captain America idealism of not the America we have, but the America we should have. But before we get into the rest of this, this brings me to a very important question. And so in the comics, let me explain this. In the comics, so Isaiah and Faith got married. This is during like World War II, right? Faith was pregnant with Eli's mom, Sarah Gale, when, again, comics and timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly, okay? So while Isaiah's out fighting. So Sarah Gale is born before Isaiah is given the super, or she's conceived before Isaiah received the super soldier serum, which leaves him actually sterile, right? And so Eli is Sarah Gale's son. Bear in mind, when we meet Eli in the comics, it's like 2005 and he's like 16. So he was born in like the early 90s, late 80s. So it's sort of, you so maybe Sarah Gale had him when she was a little bit older. But the here, the timeline is even weirder. One, because Isaiah was a soldier during Korea instead of World War II. Two, because do we know exactly when Faith, like exactly when? We don't really know when Isaiah and whoever the wife is, because she's not named, unless the nurse is Faith. And like, did he get together with the nurse? Did Sarah, did the wife have like a kid while he was out fighting in Korea? Because there's one, Faith and the, or excuse me, Isaiah and the wife had a daughter who is Eli's grandmother, because otherwise the timing doesn't make any sense, right? And Eli is actually his great grandson. Or, and this is, I think, the part that could actually work even better, but leaves another, but is the fact that Isaiah got together with the nurse and then they had Sarah Gale, and then Sarah Gale had Eli. I feel like the timing for that makes a little bit more sense, depending on when exactly he was released. I'm guessing if he spent, like, if he went into to prison in, let's like say 1954, right? 30 years later, that's 1984. It's not without possibility that he and, like, that timing makes sense, right? So then the nurse becomes Isaiah's later on second wife or partner or whatever. The reason I bring this up, and I hopefully everybody's kind of keeping track, because I know that was very confusing, is does Eli have the super soldier serum coursing through his veins? Because in the comics, he didn't, and only gets powers through a blood transfusion when he saves Steve Rogers' life. I'm hoping for the latter.
I'm following the string from one wall to the other wall. I'm trying to figure out what the hell you're talking about.
Okay, let's leave my Young Avengers movie conspiracy wall on its own.
Yeah. You have this great timeline conspiracy theory wall of
how we're going. anyway, so the question is, if Eli, I feel like it's easier to just have Eli be predisposed to the super soldier serum, but maybe because it's a different type of serum than the one Steve got, or for whatever reason, maybe because it's like two generations later, it's different, or maybe Sarah Gale, it didn't like transfer to Sarah Gale because genetics are weird. You can make a lot of arguments. But if Eli does have superpowers, which the after credit scene for this better be like him like breaking that basketball hoop or something, it does continue, going back to the wall now, my theories about a Young Avengers movie. And it would, I have mixed feelings about it, just because I like the idea of like his grandfather saving his life, but at the same time, there's like a, anyway, let's get back to this. So there's a lot of potential here. So hopefully we'll get an answer for that somehow, because I need one, because my brain hurts putting all of these threads together. So anyway, Sam is left after this entire chat with Isaiah and everything he went through, trying to figure out what his life is, what does he want? So he calls Sarah and says he's coming home. Let's see. So Sam, they decide that the entire town owes the Wilsons because of everything that his parents did, because they were pillars in the community and just like willing to help out anybody. So the entire town, the entire community sort of pulls together. And Bucky shows up to help, and he brought a present courtesy of the Wakandans. It's a Captain America suit.
Well, and interestingly, it's funny that you talk about the gift from Wakanda, because as Ayo is actually taking Zemo away, she notes to Bucky that he should probably stay away from Wakanda for a while.
Just for a little bit. But then he asks her for another favor. Yeah.
And I thought that was neat. And then, like, yeah, you see it. It's like, and here's the thing. You're probably saying that is the Captain America outfit for Sam. I'm saying, or maybe
it's a Falcon cap costume is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's 10 out of 10 that's what it is. But I like how when Bucky shows up and he automatically comes in. He helps with the pipe that's like doing the thing. Like, because Bucky knows a few things, you know, he can fix some stuff. You know, there is a human in there called James. And
he flirts with Sarah just a little bit. And Sam's like, don't flirt with my sister.
You can sleep on the couch, but don't flirt with the sister, you know?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Walker goes to Lamar's parents and lies, basically. I don't really understand. I guess to make himself feel better and to tell the parents that, like, he brought their son's killer to justice. But, like, flag smasher that he killed didn't actually kill Lamar. It was Carly. Because she kicked him, and you hear the, like, snap of something inside of him, and then he hits the wall.
Yeah, the snap that you heard was probably his neck.
No, because the snap happens when she kicks him.
Then the snap has to be somewhere here in the chest. I'm pointing at my at
yeah,
my
as chest, we're both pointing to her. Yeah, anyway.
It's probably here at the chest, but probably what also could have happened is that the cracks that you heard could have been the ribs breaking into the heart. But not only that, but let's also put this in perspective. Even if that didn't kill him, that snap, him hitting that pillar the way he did would have killed him just with the neck snapping on the pillar itself.
Yep. So anyway, he's dead. That's the lesson here. But yeah, so he lies and says that you know, he killed the killer that killed Lamar, and the parents hug him and they're like, thank you for bringing your son's killer to justice, yada yada yada. Let's see. So Sharon, meanwhile, calls our good old buddy Batroc for no reason and hires him.
I thought she called an Algerian.
No, she got him out of an Algerian prison.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Monsieur, parlez-vous français, is out for revenge against the Falcon. So Bucky helps Sam and Sarah fix the boat and stuff like that. And Sam invites him to spend the night. So he sleeps on the couch and he like wakes up to the kids playing with the shield. It was really cute.
Even Bucky thought it was cute.
Yeah, Bucky's like grinning. And Bucky actually apologizes to Sam because he didn't quite realize like what this whole thing meant to him and like why he did what he did. And like, he gets it now. And Bucky, like, you gotta feel bad for Bucky because literally every person he's ever loved, whether in a familial, romantic or platonic, whatever kind of way, is basically gone. His sister's gone. His parents are gone. His best friend is just gone. And don't get me started on that. But Sam pulls his, you know, VA guy. And he says, you know, it doesn't matter what Steve thought. It's time to be your own person. And this is why I think Bucky, I hope the show ends with Sam actually going to get a life. Or Bucky, excuse me, not Sam, Bucky going to get a life. Sorry.
And he talks to the old Asian guy and owns
I think
up.
He will in the next episode.
I think so too.
Honestly, Sam is already doing a much better job serving as Bucky's therapist than the annoying lady. Because she had this whole thing of what he needed to do. And Sam is just like upfront and honest with him. He's like, you got to do the work. Go to them and be of service, like make amends as opposed to just like apologize and like explain yourself.
Yeah. And it's a good thing that the therapist disappeared after two episodes too.
She was not a good therapist. We covered this. I'm telling you, Doc Samson, Rebecca Kaplan, excellent therapist. I trust them more than I do this lady. So they end up painting the boat and then they end up, so Sam keeps the shield and them like practicing with the shield was really fun as they're talking.
I have a question on this, but I'll wait a moment because it's a really good question to ask.
Okay.
And yeah.
So they're painting the boat and then they agree, basically Sam and Sarah agree to like not sell the boat basically. And there's kind of like a renewal of the bond of brother sister, which I always appreciate. So they talk about like his, like we talk, they talk about a little bit about like Sam's motivation and how he likes, he learned that he can't win every fight, but he wants to keep trying. And they basically, he shouldn't let what happened to Isaiah dictate who he becomes, and that he has to be his own person, and that he shouldn't necessarily forget what happened to Isaiah, but that doesn't mean he, that there is an important reason for him to be Captain America. So then we see Sam training with
training montage.
We get this cute little training montage of him running, doing flips and stuff, and training with the shield by himself and like throwing it at stuff. And
which brings the question. He's with Bucky and he's able to catch the shield perfectly fine, no issues. But in the training montage, he is having great difficulty with the shield.
I think it was because he, I think first because there was like padding on the trees that didn't exist in the, when he's training. That's one. Two, I think part of it is also he was like trying hard and maybe paying more attention, and he was maybe doing, like here it was more of just like throw and catch. But in the training, it was, I think, more a little bit strategic. Like he was planning on not just throwing it, but throwing it at very specific targets. I'm making stuff up probably, but it's this
makes,
is my
it makes sense though.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Carly's in a park in Central Park in New York City, and she's getting help to even out the odds, and Batroc shows up. So to either he's doing this on his own, or this is the thing Sharon hired him for, which like Sharon better not be the bad guy. You finally gave her something cool to do. Don't make her the bad guy. She finally has a personality. Let's explore that. Let's not just make her the bad guy because it's the only thing you can think of to do with like a female strong character. I'm reserving judgment until the final episode, but like, I'm hoping this is just a red herring and Madame Hydra is actually the power broker.
And Sharon's working for her.
And like, I can see that. I can see that. Cause like, how else could Sharon have such a cushy life in Madripoor if she's not working some capacity with the power
broker? I mean, look at all that art.
Really nice art.
It is.
Anyway, so Batroc is basically, he's like, I'm not here to fight your cause. I'm just here to kill the Falcon. I'm like, all right, fine. So they go to battle. And she activates something on the phone. And I'm like, is this like a beacon or is this like brainwashing? Because all of a sudden all these people get up and just like start walking towards her.
Well, if you notice that they get a notification on their phone.
Well, yeah. But like but it was just kind of weird because they sort of come walking kind of like blank staringly. That I'm just like, I'm assuming they're like, this is comic book brain, but like, I'm assuming they're not actually brainwashed. It just looks that way.
Well, I think what we see next is Torres reaches out to Sam, and it's about like those spikes that they would see, and they would always be in Europe, and then it's in New York. What did we just see Carly do? She sent out a spike to those phones, to her flag smashers. And so it's like, that to me says that it's not, it wasn't a brainwashing thing. It was, hey, I'm sending out a message, and then these happen to be like the 20 people or so that happen to be right there getting the thing.
Right. But like, it's a little convenient that like 20 people just happen to be right in the same, like, it's just a little weird. I know it's probably not brainwashing. It's just like how it comes
up. But also at the same time, you also have to think about one thing. You know, they're about to do this vote for the Patch Act, which is going to take 20 million refugees and send them back to their home countries. So that's 20 million people spread out all over the place. And you know that there's probably some communication that says, hey, we need people in New York for, so we can, you know, because maybe, Carly did say we want to stop the vote.
So if there was like some earlier communication of like, hey, we're all meeting in New York at 2 o'clock to talk about our plan to destroy the GRC, then fine. Speaking of the GRC, they're in New York and they're having a meeting. Like, now, gee, where could they possibly meet? So many jokes I can make about the United Nations right now, but I'll pass.
But interestingly enough, you know, things start going down inside the GRC meeting with all the people. And the one person of note that should be brought up is the one guy who's saying that they, that he can just send the call and they'll send troops to get rid of them all, is the same senator who talked down to John Walker. But one thing of note is this: when things started going down, right before things started going down, like the lights go out and the emergency power comes on, the person who goes to talk to that, I guess that one Secret Service agent or something like that,
the security guy was the one from the park. Yeah.
Yep. So it's like there was, so now you knew what was going on. They infiltrated. Thank you. I can't say the word already. So
the lights go down and we don't really see what happens, because the next thing we see is Sam opening up the case. And sadly, we don't get to see what's inside, but we will next episode.
We don't deserve to see it until next episode. Let's be honest here. That's a last episode reveal.
I would have been perfectly fine with him just like opening the case and just like seeing the cover, but not the full suit. Like, I would have been fine with that. Because I think if that, maybe we'll still see that at the beginning of the episode, because then that would have mirrored like Walker in the second, was it the second or third episode when he opens the zipper?
Second episode.
Yeah, and we see a little bit of the costume. Like, it would have been an interesting year. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm not mad about it. But speaking of John Walker, we have our first after credit scene, or like mid-credits. And whatever. It's after some type of credits.
It's after the cool credits.
Yeah, it's after the pretty credits. And we actually see John Walker, and he's making his own shield. And I'm like, dude, you already got your butt whooped by a senior citizen and the future Captain America. Do you really want to try again? Like, dude, 106-year-old man kicked your butt. Granted, he looks amazing for 106, but still, like, come on.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's funny because like on social media the week before, everybody's like speculating who the secret cameo is, and everybody's like, oh, everybody was like having more fun with it. Like, these were not serious suggestions, but one suggestion I thought was hilarious was Dr. Doom. I'm like, Marvel is going to be very careful with where they place Dr. Doom. And believe me, when they cast Dr. Doom, we're all going to know about it. I was still hoping to see one of my favorite comic book characters who's not a superhero or a supervillain. She's just a really good lawyer, and her name is Bernie Rosenthal. But I get to suffer in the obscurity of the complete non-existent Jewish representation in a Jewish medium. So that is my life. But so I think it's pretty clear what's going to happen in the next couple of episodes. Walker either, or the, in this last episode, I should say, Walker is going to have his new U.S. agent looking suit with his fake Captain America shield. He's going to call himself U.S. agent, and he's going to work with Madame Hydra, whether he realizes she's evil or not. She'll be revealed to be the power broker. Sharon will be revealed to actually be a good guy and is like doing something. Batroc will get his ass kicked again. I like how he keeps coming back. He's like a really bad yo-yo. You know, there's going to be a confrontation between Carly and Sam, and Bucky's going to talk to Yuri, and Yuri will either cry and forgive Bucky or will slam the door in his face or something. But I think at the end of this, Sam will be Captain America, and Bucky's gonna go and try to live some form of a normal life. I don't really know what he can do for a job, because his job history is like murder, 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 murder. US soldier. So I'm not sure what he does, but I really, like in the comics, after he is like no longer the Winter Soldier, Bucky ends up kind of being a freelance agent. He ends up working for SHIELD for a little bit. He kicks Natasha's butt to get the shield. And then he becomes Captain America. Then he has the trial of Captain America. And, you know, I think Bucky needs to go on the journey that Steve was too lazy to go on, which is the journey to find a normal life. And it would be a very nice way to sort of wrap up the whole season, which like starts with Sam and doubts to him becoming Captain America. Bucky dealing with being the man out of time to then trying to find himself in this place in the world where he doesn't have any friends. Like, him and Sam even like kind of go back and forth of like, what are we? Are we friends? Are we partners? Are we like
co-workers?
They're like awkward co-workers. And so I really like to see Bucky go and try to find that sense of normalcy and that sense of freedom and that sense of relief. And maybe he ends up doing something kind, it would be actually interesting if maybe like Sam inspires Bucky to help other people dealing with trauma or something like that. That would be really cool. One thing I do hope is I would really like to see Eli and Bucky interact, because in the comics, in between the Captain Americas, in between sort of Steve being dead and Bucky being, or right around the time Bucky becomes Captain America, he actually has this conversation with Eli Bradley about what it means to be a kid like him and have this mantle. And Eli talks to Bucky about it because he was the person that knew Steve the best. And it's, I think it's in Young Avengers solo like one shots that they did that was focused specifically on Eli, and it's really good and I highly recommend it. There's also a really funny scene that I really hope one day we see in the comic, in the show, in the movies, but it's kind of difficult to do because there's so much context behind it. Is after Steve dies, Tony Stark in his infinite wisdom decides the world still needs a Captain America. Great idea, poor execution. Guess who he decides deserves to be Captain America?
Him.
No. Guess.
No idea.
Clint Barton, which is, first of all, really bad idea. And so the Kate Bishop and Eli, Patriot and Hawkeye, are out on a mission and they're trying to get away before, because this is like during the Superhero Registration Act situation, but post-Civil War. And they're confronted by this guy dressed as Captain America, and Kate Bishop took her name, was given the name Hawkeye by Captain America because Hawkeye was dead. And there's this amazing confrontation where Hawkeye and Patriot just kind of rag on Clint Barton, like, who the hell do you think you are to put on this mask and be Captain America? Like, you're not him and you're never going to be him, and this is ridiculous. And Barton is like, yup, this is dumb, and hands the shield back off to Tony, like, this was stupid. So here's what I'm learning so far. I don't know, like, it's unclear yet, because we knew how WandaVision tied into the rest of the MCU more or less, because we knew the events of WandaVision would lead into Doctor Strange. Here, I'm still unclear, like, the universe is expanding, but I'm still not quite sure how this fits into kind of the grand scheme of the MCU, other than, you know, Sam becoming Captain America, but like, what does that mean in the future? Right, because we knew Wanda was going to play a part in Doctor Strange. We knew that multiverse shenanigans were going to happen. We can speculate that Billy and Tommy will come back in certain capacity. And maybe we'll, hopefully, some of those tie-ins will become a little bit clearer in the next episode.
Yeah, I mean, something tells me next episode, we're going to get two end credit scenes, one in the middle and one at the very end. The one at the very end is going to kind of lead you in the direction of when we could potentially see Sam and Bucky next.
Yep. And like, we did see some, you know, characters, like this show did a really good job of keeping everything kind of grounded within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just like WandaVision did with the reintroduction of like Agent Wu and Darcy. Here we see that with Sharon, we see that with Rhodey and things like that. So I think, yeah.
We haven't seen Rhodey since the first episode though.
But we did see him, that's important.
Something tells me we might see Rhodey in this last episode.
I hope so. Because
keep in mind, they're gonna be doing Armor Wars and that's gonna be based off of Rhodey. Rhodey's going to be the main guy in that one. So yes, maybe there Rhodey's could be
getting his own show.
So maybe that could be a lead into Armor Wars a little bit, or a tie into it.
Yep.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, we don't know right now. Real quick, only note that I have here because I kind of talked about the major part of it during the main episode part. For DeFontaine, apparently, according to
who is DeFontaine?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus character. Valentina Allegra DeFontaine. That's the full name. DeFontaine, according to an article published in Vanity Fair, it was revealed she was supposed to make her first appearance in Black Widow. Whether or not that actually happens, we'll see, because I just looked at the IMDb for Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and they actually don't have a credit for her on IMDb for Black Widow, unless it's an uncredited appearance that happens like later on. Also, a producer, doesn't say who, says that he would like to see Fontaine team up with Thor in the future of the MCU.
Yeah, how about no?
I don't know. And here's the thing. There's no context. There's no rhyme or reason. It just says, in talking about the cameo leading up to the episode, a producer said he wants Fontaine to team up with Thor in the future of the MCU.
Yeah, I'm calling BS on that. I don't think that's real. That's, you know, sometimes there are things that are not accurate on the IMDb. And that just, I mean, granted, we'll have to see how the last episode sort of unravels and how the show ends. But that seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah. But like I said, it's like the only real note that I have. So it's not like with WandaVision where like there's just so many notes that would be popped up. Well,
that's because WandaVision had like more Easter eggs than the White House Easter egg hunt. So like, in WandaVision, like everything was an Easter egg. I don't think I've ever watched something so diligently and so like hyper focused. Sorry, bad. I don't have a better word choice for this than like anything I've ever watched before. And so I'm okay at the slight lack of Easter eggs in this show. It makes me feel a little bit better, actually. Oh, wait, no, I forgot one more theory I have about the last episode. Mephisto will show up.
Wait, I thought he was
Mephisto. No, I'm kidding.
I thought he was supposed to show up in WandaVision.
That's what they wanted you to think. Anyway,
It was a good swerve on that.
Yeah. One. So with that, Mike, where can the people find you on these pesky social media things we've grown so attached to?
Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/MichaelX75, and in hell, I mean, on the web at txhthockey.com, and for this show specific, nerdy-notions.
And you can find my lovely self on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. If you have an explanation for this whole Isaiah Eli timeline thing, I need it. Please PM me. Like, let's talk about this. The only response I got was from somebody who I don't think, it was very nice, but has never read my blog and apparently didn't realize that like I am like obsessed with the Young Avengers and definitely know Eli's backstory from the comics. So that's geekgirl101.tumblr.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan, Kaplan with a K, after the greatest superhero in the world and fellow Young Avenger to Eli, Billy Kaplan. And of course, on my website, domain pending, geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com. So please join us next time as we come to the conclusion of the epic saga that is Falcon and the Winter Soldier.